Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:36 Central African time. Yes, we're back, and alhamdulillah, between the load shedding and 3 days without an energy, getting false messages, lights are on, lights are off. But anyway, the lights are still off, but the generator is doing the job this morning. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. But he was, on an extended holiday, and he's back on his segment called Straight Talk. We welcome Ahmad Farooq. Counselor Ahmad Farooq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, Ahmad, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Shafat. What a beautiful, shining Sunday morning. And it's very, very hot at this time of the morning, Shafat.
Yeah, as you said, it's very hot this time of the morning. And perhaps you're going to give us a Kal Guzari on your trip. Talk to us about it, Ahmad.
Shabbat, alhamdulillah. You know, I needed a well-deserved holiday, which I had to take because, you know what, in the last 2 years, I was, you know, when I got into politics, I had to work cross-cross all over the province. And I was really, really working on the political field, and I was really, really burnt out, and I needed a break. And alhamdulillah, I went to Dubai. From Dubai, I went to the UK. As promised, I went to have a look at the X-ray machine in the UK, got all the literature. Now we have already put it in motion with the Department of Health, with the Justice Department. And now we want to get all the feedback, and then the next trip, inshallah, will be to go to Switzerland and get the machine from there, because that is the right machine, which is will be adopted here in South Africa. It's an easier, faster machine to work than what they're using in the UK, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, so you have done your feasibility study, and alhamdulillah, jazakallah khairah for that. And Ahmad, did you miss your listeners?
Shafat, you know, from after the 23rd of December, right through, you know, I've been getting WhatsApp calls, I've been getting WhatsApp messages. You say, where are you? You deserted us, you left us, where are you? So I told him, no, I've been on a holiday, and I've asked a special leave from Shafat Ahmad Khan not to be disturbed on my holiday vacation. I just need a complete break from everything. And alhamdulillah, Shafat.
Yeah, I must thank those that stood in your place, Yusuf Mali, and even from London, Arun from London did a segment with us. But alhamdulillah, good to have you back. And let's get deep into it. What about Kafan Dafan? What's the latest there, Ahmad?
Shabbat, you know, after I got back, I did a check with the government mortuaries and all that. You know, the post-mortems were really down this festive season, the end of last season and the early part of January, due to, you know, because of the Rosu was in our seas, and therefore there's a lot of travelers have not come to the our shores. The visitors has not come yet due to because of the problem that we were faced with. In fact, I believe Cape Town had a similar problem as well. So the tourism industry has really taken a beating this last 22-23 season. So, you know, they were actually discounting some of the rooms at hotels and all the top hotels, you know, discounting just to get bodies to take those rooms up, because there was no visitors here. So that is a problem that we had, a massive problem. And this is what is, in fact, this is going to be the 2023 is going to be a very, very tough year. In fact, lots of things going to be happening. I'll be giving you a small update in the next few minutes, where in the next month from now, a lot of heads going to be rolling in the Tikwini municipality. There's a big change. In fact, we're moving all out. We are mobilizing to make sure that the ruling party will not have a say, unless it is going to be a coalition or whatever, to make these things happen. Otherwise, we're not going to get anywhere, Shafat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it has been said already, 2023 is going to be a bumpy ride. It's going to be, you know, you have to tighten your belts and so forth. But, you know, we know the root of the problem. We know who made this country go pear-shaped. And those people that have done it, You know, they are judge, jury, and executioner. And they don't want to let go, Ahmed. If they're going to let go, they want to destroy this country, bring it into the grounds, and then say, yeah, you are built from the ashes. What's your thoughts on that, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know what they have did? All their SOEs, they stuffed it up so badly. Take the South African Airway. They sold it for a rand. You know, like what happened to OKs in the old days. That's what's going to happen here. In fact, the deal is almost done, so that is gone. The next is they're going to dismantle Eskom, and that is going to go private. So all the entities will go private, and this is going to happen, and this is where the problem is. Government will have no assets anymore because they don't know how to run the thing. If you take even all the metric results that just come out now, all top students in this country are going away universities of overseas, and they're going to be going to study there because they've got better job opportunities than studying here and not getting job here. They brought in the Cuban doctors. $440 million it cost this country to bring Cuban doctors here. For what? When our own local doctors from the universities of Vet University of KZN here and all our university top doctors, we produce the best doctors in the world. But what happened? They have to go away overseas. There's no work here in this country, Shafat.
Yeah, looking at the message on the screen, Tahir says, Assalamu alaikum, Bruce Shafa. Great to have Ahmed back. And I want to know from Ahmed, how is Sunak of UK? Did you get to meet the shaitan? How you respond to Tahir here, Ahmed?
Which shaitan is he talking about? That's the thing. Which shaitan is he talking about?
Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister of Britain.
The Prime Minister you're talking about. No. I did not meet him, but you know what, Shafat? The last 5 days I spent in the UK, it was freezing. This cold, when we get cold here in this country, is nothing compared to the cold that you'll get in the UK. It was freezing when I mean freezing. We were lucky it was not in the minus. A week before that, it was minus 12 and minus 13. So that's how bad cold. That Satan, I haven't met him or anything, but I've spoken to most of the people, and they're telling me, even the taxi drivers and all, they said that Satan is not going to last there.
Yeah, they want to bring back the other Satan, Boris Johnson. But Ahmed, moving on, and another message, it's from Asif, and he says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed, Ahmed Pada, great to have you back, and mashallah, I like what you do for the Ummah. Tell us a little more about the machine that you have identified, and from Switzerland. What would it land you, and what are some of its features? Please, I haven't been listening for some time, but this morning I heard Brother Shafat say that Ahmed Parak will be coming on, so I'm tuned in, but I'm very interested in that machine, and perhaps I will help you out. Ahmed, how do you respond to Asif there?
Okay, Shafat, this machine is in the UK, in America, in most of the European countries, like us, we open the body. When we say we open the body from the neck right to the navel, which what we call in this country a rib cage, we open the rib cage. We take the organs out, we weigh the organs, we check what was the actual cause of death, and then we open the skull. Maybe he's got brain hemorrhage, whatever it is. So we have to do it manually. But this machine we are talking about, the entire body goes into what we call a scanning machine when you get into all the government hospital and private hospital and scan. It scans everything. Now, this machine will be able to detect any accident, stab wounds, whether you were burned in third degree, burns you have, a gunshot, whatever unnatural causes, this machine will be able to detect it, and that we will be able to get the post-mortem report within 3 days. With the way we're going at the moment, it takes anything to 5 to 6 months to get one post-mortem report. And we get our in-house lab. When we get this machine, we do the blood and everything, so, you know, to make sure it is the right body and, you know, the blood test or everything. And we do you also do the DNA with this machine. So this machine is actually designed to curb the post-mortem issue. where you have to wait. You know, to do a post-mortem shafak, you're looking at anything from 1 to 2 hours. In some cases, it could be 3 to 4 hours because the investigating officer wants to be present there when they're doing the post-mortem. So that's why our post-mortems are always delayed. So this machine will be able to do all that for us and give us our post-mortem report in 3 days. Because what the pathologist will talk and the post-mortem gets, the report gets printed out immediately, but then he needs a few more days to just go through that report to make sure before he gives the family and the doctors or some lawyers who require that post-mortem if they got insurance. So this is a machine that it will be easier for us, it will be better for us, especially as Muslims. You know, we don't want our bodies to be opened up and everything, but the law states in this country, if there's any unnatural causes, you have to do a post-mortem.
Yeah, Zahid says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Pada, great to have you back, and mashallah. Sad reality of this country is over 60% are using credit cards to purchase food only. Ahmed, for how long can we carry on doing this? Because we're living in a very farcical society, and we are really feeling the pinch, but we're not showing it. We got a lot of sabr, but we are forced to use our credit cards. Ahmed, how do you respond to Zahid?
Shafat, you know, the middle class of this country is dwindling in a very, 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 very fast pace because there is not... We were the only country that we had a massive middle class people, especially our Indians were there, our whites and a lot of blacks were coming into this middle class. Now it's not happening that way. You either got the very poor and you got the very rich. This is where our problem is. Now, I don't blame the people that are using credit cards because the thing is this. The bus fares has gone up, the food price has gone up, everything has gone up, rates has gone up, electricity bill has gone up, fuel has gone up. You know, I know workers where they used to pay 20 rand for a trip to come to Durban to work here in Durban. Now they're paying almost 80 rand. So, you know, so it's a big amount. And you know, especially in the clothing industry and most of the industry, there hasn't been increase from after COVID. So there is no work at the moment. In fact, they have already been talking. There will be at least 25% of this country's employment will not take place in January, February this year. So there's going to be a massive problem because more people want to be unemployed. So, you know, at the moment, we are on the brink of almost in the region of about 50% unemployment and only 50% of the country is working. You can't have a country where you got the highest unemployment. That is a major, major problem. And this is a problem we're going to face with. And, you know, our money is worth nothing. If you take $1, it's 17 rand 30 today. So that is the other issue we face with.
Yeah, you got a good point there. I mean, even the UK, I mean, the people are complaining about the gas prices and the price of food there. And instead of them buying it from Russia and, you know, the other sources, they're forced to buy the same gas. Guess from where? From America at 4 times the price, Ahmed. 4 times the price. And America is trying to fiddle all over Africa. And it seems as if you and your party members, you know, need to do something about the Americans interfering in... Yeah, in South Africa, Ahmed.
Shafat, I had coffee with a very close friend of ours in from Durban. He's moved there. He's got some businesses here still in South Africa. And he's got a few coffee shops that in the UK. And he told me he's not coming back. You know, we sat with him and we had coffee with him. And he said, you know, you can give me all the money in your country in South Africa. I was born and brought up in South Africa, but I'm not coming back. Then I asked him, what is the price of fuel? He says, your price in South Africa and our price is the same because we've been heavily affected with the Ukraine and the Russian war, and that's why the price has gone drastically. But if you say that our country is bad, UK is maybe 2 times worse than where we are at the moment. They are in international sakrat at the moment, as we speak, Shafat.
Mm. Absolutely. And I can't believe it. The questions are just flying on the screen, Boniface. Yeah, it's flying there. And Jazakallah Khair. Tariq says, welcome, Ahmed Aparat. You really, you and Chef really rock. Okay, Jazakallah Khair for that. He says, one mission for you this year from me, Tariq, to Ahmed Aparat. Please, Ahmed, crack down on underage drinking. These underage drinking, they are the ones that are creating the problems. They are the ones that are hijacking and killing. Try and get rid of underage drinking. Can you do that, Ahmed? Ahmed, how do you respond to Tariq?
Shafat, Tariq, very, very good question for a Sunday morning. But when you have 38% of the youth are unemployed, then what you do? We are lucky that we haven't got a youth uprising in this country. And I'm pretty sure this year, you want to maybe get what happened in the Middle East. The youth came out by the thousands and they brought the government to its knees. It might be so they will have to come to and do something like that. You cannot hold the youth back now. A youth can only take so much. An adult will say, okay, make sabr, carry on and all that, make a plan somehow. There. The youth of today is just had enough. Firstly, he has studied. He went to university. He went to colleges. He went to all the business course and everything. He's still sitting 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, sitting at home. Now, when you're getting all these guys sitting at home and they are forming like a small groups and they're becoming gangsters, selling drugs and doing things that they were not supposed to be doing. And also robbery is taking place, car hijacking. These are all youths are doing all these things. So that is where your problem lies. Now, if these guys, they got nothing to do, the shebeens and all are making money out of these youths. That's the problem, Shafat.
Good point there, Ahmed. Good point indeed. Looking at Naeem, the message says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmed, traffic jams, nightmares over all these things, other interruptions in the rhythm of social society and accompanying our social or psychological distress. You know what I'm talking about, Ahmed? I'm talking about load shedding. All this is going to affect us, and ESCOM is in a mess, and the national government doesn't know how to advise. The ANC is fighting each other. Gwede Mantashe is being marginalized because he's pressing for coal and so forth. What is this crisis leading us to? I don't see any opportunities for our youth. I pity the youth. I pity our children. What have they got to look forward to? And Cyril Ramaphosa is putting this country more into debts by going and collecting money like a real beggar. But who's going to pay back all these billions and billions of dollars with interest is the future generation of this country. Ahmed, please, your comments.
Shafat, from 2007 to date, 653% is the increase on ESCOM alone. I've never heard in so many years, from 2007, 653% increase. Now they're fighting for more increase to put the tariffs up. We are going to court on that issue in the next week or so. We're filing papers already. You know, we have already filed two court cases. So we're taking them on in every cent. ESCOM, the government appoints the CEOs. Government is appointing all the top rakis in ESCOM. That should stop. And maybe it's better, sometimes it better goes away to private sector. But even if it goes to private sector, now the people have realized that they are bringing solos into the buildings now, and most of them are getting self-sufficient. Most of them have got boreholes for water. So eventually, the government is going to lose more money because there's no revenue is going to come to them because people are going to use battery-generated. Things are happening. People are bringing the right stuff now where they'll be able to put it on your roof. And you don't even have to bother about it. You can put all your fridges, air conditioners, everything. I've seen it already. And I went, as soon as I came back on Thursday, I went and saw one building in Springfield Park. They put, Shafat, they don't use one kilowatt of the city's power. They just had it. And in fact, he managed to employ more people because now he's got extra power, so he will be able to do it. What Cyril Ramaphosa did in Dove when he was appointed, he said he had a lot of power. And that's where the trouble started. When firstly, they didn't maintain the power stations. Secondly, all our good coal, 250 billion worth of good prime premium coal is being exported. When the truck leaves the mine, the good coal is going away to somebody else, and the kachra, the rubbish, is coming with stones and everything else into our machine, and that's where our problem has come through. So the Eskom has to be completely revamped and been to be sorted out. That only will come right. Other than that, there's no way. This is going to be another 5 to 8 years issue that we're going to be faced with. By then, most of our people will have their own solo. They're not going to worry about Eskom. Whether Eskom dies or he gets liquidated, nobody's going to bother about it.
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes to go before the news. And did you expect this? I mean, so many people asking questions. I just can't believe it. Looks like the whole show is going to go with that. And you're answering, mashallah, you're fluent. And are you taking it? Every question, and you're a master, Ahmed. You're a voracious reader, but you're very hands-on. I mean, you're ready for parliament, you know that.
No, alhamdulillah. It's through the du'as of our people on the ground, people, what you do good. And alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me to do. In fact, when I finish here, in the next week, we're trying to topple the ANC at our integrity. If that happens, Shafat, then we're in the game, inshallah. Make sure that we move them out, move that whole regime out from there and get the right people, and we can get service delivery. Take Spingo. From Thursday, you don't have electricity. I came back on Monday. They have already got calls that, there's no electricity. Now, with this load shedding, your cable, even if you've got a hairline fracture on the cable, you want to have a problem. As soon as you're putting in the power, now you got power, either you got two-phase power, it's 220 volts, or you got three-phase, is the 350. When we open up the power, we're shooting down there about 1,500 one go. So every appliance, everything is going, and that's how the hairline crack will catch up on your cable. And if you fix it today, down the line you will have another crack. It's going to do the same thing. That's where your delays are coming. And I don't blame. Somebody phoned me yesterday. He said I had to throw away 8 bin bags of all my things from the fridge. I felt so sorry for that poor auntie.
What a tragedy, Ahmed. And that's worrying me, that people's, meat and food and all that are all getting rotten and people are throwing it away or burying it into the ground. Allah make it easy for all of us. And perhaps they may be even teaching us a lesson that we shouldn't be, we can't hoard things. We can't put in the fridge. And because of electricity, it's given us that culture of hoarding and so forth. But it's a reality check. But alhamdulillah, be magnanimous, and before it all goes off, and if you have extra meat, feed and cook and feed. Ahmed is someone that advocates that. It's a lovely way of even giving your sadaqah and getting sawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us that are going through this condition. And I know, as Ahmed says, in Spingo Beach, I'm feeling it, but alhamdulillah, Allah has been good to us, and the generator is doing the rest, but it cost an arm and a leg. And alhamdulillah, news around the world. And what caught your eye? Yes, Ahmed.
The Shafat, 110,000 protests for that haram jadi, that president is coming back again. And that's a big, big number. In fact, now things are starting to happen in Palestine. And with this type of support, with all four cities having the protests, in fact, things will start happening in Palestine. So Israel will come down to its feet now. And then this Haram Jadi, they're trying to bring him back now because he's the only one that will is siding with the Americans, and that's why the Americans putting him back there, Shafar. The other one is the Stockholm, where they're burning the Quran. That is not called for, Shafar. That is, it's ridiculous. In fact, they're going... this is going to cause a massive problem there for them. Then the documents that Biden is keeping away from the public and everything from 1973 to 2009, he's going to have a major problem. In fact, he might be just recalled before his full term. And then the Indian government about the documentary with BBC with 1,000 dead in Gujarat, that was a real disaster. And this Modi need to be brought before the criminal justice in the world.
Yeah, absolutely, Ahmed. And, looking at your leader, Action SA leader Herman Mashaba, has slammed the police minister Becky Kele and Police Commissioner General Fani Masemola after the patching of potholes as they visited the homes of murdered ANC councillor Sibonele Imtembu. A gravel road had to be patched up for Kele and Masemola during the visit to Mokondo in Mpumalanga. Well, your leader is already vociferous. He says, for these guys, special treatment. Even the potholes has to be fixed before they go and visit someone, Ahmed.
We you know, Shafak, one thing is not because he's my president. One, he will stand by his word. He's not short of money or anything like that. He's the only one. He's been outspoken at the moment, and he's also said in public that he wants the death penalty brought back. That is the only way. And he says, you know, because his partners are Muslim in Pretoria, he says, bring in the Sharia law. If a person has stolen, cut his one hand off. You know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. He's maintained that, and he's going all out. And in fact, when he was a mayor, when he saw what was happening, that is the reason why he formed this party to take the government on and to make sure that the people don't suffer on the ground, Shafak.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. They're looking at a message here, and it's from Fazlu, and he says, Assalamu alaikum, brother Shafaz Ahmad Khan, Ahmed Parak. State Talk is a show for everyone in the morning on a Sunday because it really conscientizes us. Ahmed, Cyril Ramaphosa has been singing the same tune about fixing load shedding for over 16 years, the same story. But when he's asked to share his plans, he doesn't even have a plan. What type of man is this, Ahmed?
Mustafa, the biggest problem Ramaphosa is faced, he's got all these other Zuma's inherited cronies. They're only interested in one thing, is to loot and loot and loot, loot this whole country and bring them down to his knees. That's their only, they're not interested in anything else. He's been talking, he sold our power when he first just came into government. That's where our biggest problem. Secondly, when we had a contract with the German company to maintain all our power stations and all, they cancelled it. They said they want to do it themselves. They don't have the right engineers, the artisans to do it, yeah? And they stuffed everything up. Then they sold all our good coal to China and all over the world and brought all the third-grade, C-grade, rubbish into our boilers, and they damage all our infrastructure. So he is talking about for the last 16 years, the brother is right. He cannot get it right. Now he's going all over the world. Now he's going to go for the G20 summit very shortly, and he's going to put his hand out there to bring in money to assist, to bring the power back here in the country. And he needs money, he wants investors and all. Nobody wants to invest in this country when you cannot get water on time, when you cannot get electricity. Take what they did in Tongat, Shafat. They put completely brand smanking new pumps and everything. It didn't last for 2 months. For the last 5 days, they don't have water again, Shafat, in Tongat. And they spent big money. They spent over 140-something million. How do they bring people that putting in these, they're putting all these pumps with the proper engineers and all that? That is the problem. They're bringing all these guys, you know, maybe from the Jondals, from the informal settlement. They're not bringing the right people. If you want to pay peanuts, you want to get monkeys. This is where the problem is. Because, you know, before they can put something in and get that equipment put, they have to pay 5-6 different people. And then eventually, the subcontractor is bone dry. and he has to do whatever he has to do, and he'll put whatever parts he's putting. He's putting maybe second-hand parts in the new machine and just to make sure it works. This is what happened. 2 months, over 150 million they spent, and you can't get the pump right. I can't understand this, Shafat.
You know, Ahmed, you have touched on a very sensitive issue indeed. And as you said, the type of contractors that are coming around, they are so, most of them allegedly are not confident of themselves. I have many friends like yourselves and, you know, many others that are, you know, go and check up from the CPF and so forth. Whilst these guys come to do a repair, and they ask you, hey, but what are you standing and looking at us? I mean, if you're not confident, that's the only time you'll question a person. And the guy said, no, I'm from the CPF. I'm looking at what you are doing. And then they say, all right, okay. But, you know, they'll still do the job. But 2 days later, the pipe breaks again. A month down the, you know, you notice everything. And you just know that these are incompetent people coming there. And how is the government allowing this to happen? How are the municipalities allowing this to happen? And many say this is jobs for PAL. It starts right from the government, you know, at the highest level. And these are all ANC members. Your comments on that, Ahmed?
Yeah, if I was in, government at the moment, and, you know, they call me, I'm the best when it comes to the help of Allah and your people's dua. Troubleshooting, if you give me a task where you got a problem, I'm at my best and I'll get things done for you. And I will get it done where the system will work and all that. I'm saying to the city, divide it by four in the whole city and get the right people. Pay them the money. Let them go and do their job. Get the old people that who have been working for the Itigwini municipality, who knows the system, knows how to put things together. Bring them back. Because you all have chased them, because you all have brought people, because of BEE, and you know the ratio, so many black, 10 black, one Indian, one colored, and one white, 7 black. Those guys don't know after to matter. I'm not racialist or anything like that. You've got to get the right engineer, get the right artisan, get those people who will be able to do that job. That is the problem that we are faced with.
Now, a world-class engineer, you know, Ahmed, when he does your job, or even if you give a professional to come and do your, you know, your wiring and so forth at home, he gives you a certificate of competence, number one, and number two, he gives you a guarantee. He won't give you a 3 months guarantee or a 6 months guarantee. He says, my job is guaranteed for 5 years, Ahmed. And you are, you know, you really are touching into on a very powerful point here indeed, and Allah bless you for that. Whilst we look at another contribution from Qasim, and Qasim says, Ahmed Parak, great to have you back. And mashallah, really, we're enjoying the show. Lots of topics being discussed. And Allah bless you all. The barakah flows on Straight Talk. Jazakallah khair for that, Qasim. And Qasim says, Ahmed, the DA plans to go ahead with the electricity crisis march to the ANC headquarters, that is at Luthuli House, despite the ANC's Youth League warning against it. And the ANC Youth League says, you people have all the money. You people have all the generators. You people have all the good things. That's why you are not identifying with us poor people. But you want to march because you are in a cozy position. The ANC Youth League, Ahmed, is not realizing that, you know, top big business, they are paying through their noses. They have to pay for their staff. They have to pay for the electricity that's coming through. I know of an individual that, is using generators and he has over 10 stores. I mean, his bill per day, I don't know, for a month, it's coming like 50 grand a day because of his 10 shops and so forth. I mean, how do you respond to this, to Brother Qasim? Very good point indeed. And DA want to march and the ANC Youth League making a very ill-informed comment. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Shafat, first and foremost, when you want to have a march, you make an application. You make it, if you're in Joburg, you make it with the city manager of Joburg. If you're in Durban, you make it the city manager of Durban. If you're in Cape Town, Cape Town city manager. You do the normal process. You do the proper application where you will have marshals, where you will have security. You will have to avoid violence guarantee for ambulance service you have to give there, because in case if anybody get injured or whatever, all that you put it in place. ANC Youth League cannot do anything. This is just a tactic that was used previously by Malema. There was that Malema mentality in them to say, you know what, we can bully them and they will back off. You don't back off in anything today. You must take them head on. And that's what you have to do, Shafat. That is the only way they are going to do, and we're going to join wherever there is marches where it's needed for the service delivery. We are going there, Shafat. And in fact, what we did this week with the school open, you saw we came on television. My chairperson, Zakwela, came onto the on every radio station. Go and see some of the schools, Shafat. I've been to one school. Shafat, I don't even think you will send your garden boy to that school there. They got 680-something students. Only two toilets work there. And there is that from the roof, you can see the sun shining through the roof. How can you, and in each class, they got like 80, 90 students, one teacher. How can you do things like that? This is, their own people are suffering, Shafat. Now, how can you allow this to happen? And then, you know, they say it's poverty. It's not poverty. It is the government who was supposed to deliver. He's not delivering the right way. They're taking money and putting into things that they shouldn't be putting, and the money is getting squandered, and that's where our problem lies now.
Sad indeed. Then also, you know, talking about Julius Malema, this is what Malema said, that the DA should avoid marching to Luthuli House. He says a party shouldn't march to another party. In case you are not good with the direction, the seat of power is at the Union Building, not Luthuli House. Be warned, said Malema. Hey, Malema got some brains at least, Ahmed.
The reason they're doing that, Shafat, Malema and the ANC are in bed now. We knew that. At one stage, he was saying, Zuma must be out, Zuma must be out, and they will walk out from Parliament and all that. Today, why they're in bed with the ANC? Because they did a deal. Ramaphosa and his cronies made a deal with the EFF, and you'll see, they're only with the EFF, because once you promise one seat, top seat to the EFF, they float accordingly. That's what they are doing at the moment, Shafat.
Now, Ahmed, I wonder what your thoughts are on, you know, because a prominent South African, including three political parties, a trade union and business owners, want the government to stabilize the supply of electricity by the end of this week, or face a legal action for contravening its duty to provide energy. And may I add to that, what about people that are undergoing stress and some people are getting sick because of load shedding? Can they sue the government for, you know, harassment and stressing them out, Ahmed?
You can do that, Shafat. But the thing is, whoever, if, you know, we also, you know, we brought one application already for the raw sue. We brought another application for the land invasion we're busy putting together at the moment. You know, from the apartheid government, when the land was appropriated in Greyville, in all these areas, we're busy working with that at the moment. And if you look at it, there's nothing you can do much. The thing is this. When you bring an application in high court, a court case can last from day 1 to 18 months. They will drag it. They will ask for this information, that information. But in the end, it will have to come before the full trial has to come through. So, you know, the only way you do this is when you bring in the applications, keep bringing in application upon application. Then they will realize. Then we go to the Chief Justice and tell him, you know, we got so many applications. These are urgent matters in terms of the law, in terms of the Constitution. The government must give you the support in terms of delivery. We, at the moment, in the next week, I don't want to say this over the radio, but in the next week, you will hear big things are happening. We brought in the top Rakhi lawyers from Joburg. We're meeting with them shortly. And we have picked up something in the Ratepayers Association, Ratepayers Act, and that is going to bring them down to his knees. Because then everyone don't pay, Shafat, they will come to his knees, they bugger. Then we say, okay, fine, y'all get out, let us come in and fix the city. There's the money is there, we'll tell the people to start paying back, and we'll get this thing done.
Yes, Ahmed, JazakAllah khair for that. Brother wants to know from you. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I know you well, but I'll remain anonymous. What are your views on Davos? Do you think those are good people or are they evil people that are planning against the people of the world? What's your views, Ahmad?
Shafat, that is a very tricky thing. You know, that day is an issue that, you know, you have to debate it, and, you know, you have to study it first. I haven't been through that documents or anything like that. You know, for me to comment on that, it won't be right, Shafat.
Voila, brother. You can hear that. Those people are divorced, hey? That they wheel and deal and they make unilateral decisions. Ahmad says he's going to check them out. And maybe next week I'll get him to comment. But George Galloway ran a poll recently, and 97% of the people on the poll said that those that are, you know, wheeling and dealing in Davos are evil people. So, Ahmad, I'm waiting for your, and this brother, anonymous brother, will wait for your decision next week, inshallah. You study it and let us know. Well, look at South Africa's electricity crisis, what it has done, Ahmad. If you like your tandoori chicken and if you like your Lahori chicken, millions of chickens are culled because of load shedding, Ahmad.
Shafat, I was speaking to a very close friend of mine who owns Dow Chicken. And he's one of the major distributors of chicken in our province. He told me, in the mosque, he told me, what's the story here? He reckon, hey, Ahmad, don't talk. He said, instead of giving that chickens to the crocodile and all that, they had to go and dump it. I said, he says, you know what? There's nothing they can do now at the moment because farmers want to be, just, there will be a shortage of chicken in the next couple of months. He said, the thing is, if you're not giving power, how are they going to store the chicken? And chicken, with this weather like that, even if you take out a chicken this morning and you want to cook it at lunchtime, with this heat, you leave it outside, you'll get a smell in your biryani, Shafa. That's how bad it is.
Ah, sad indeed. And, you know, even the price of egg, I'm wondering what the price will go on to, because I believe we're paying 2.50 per egg, Ahmad.
Yeah, that is the price at the moment. You know, it's skyrocketing everywhere, Shafa. Shafa, there's one thing that I picked up when I was in Dubai. I couldn't get that book. You must get the book, Sheikh Makhdoom, how he turned the whole of Dubai, and he made it self-sufficient. That's the book. In fact, I told my nephew is there I'll try and get a copy for you. You read that book. I was sitting one day and I didn't have much to do, and I was sitting with some friends in a coffee shop, and they had this book, and then I read about 4 or 5 pages of that book. Shafaz, when you read that book, your hair will stand. From zero, he made some major magic in Dubai. We can do it. Yeah, we got all the infrastructure. They had zero. He had nothing. He only had desert. That sand was, you know, nothing. Look at it today and look at how he has turned that whole country around it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And you get many of these Arabs are doing something that is mind-boggling. Story here, it says teen pregnancy. More than 100,000 girls gave birth in South Africa every year. 100,000 teenage girls, Ahmad. What's your thoughts on that? What's going on?
Those 100,000, that brother is 100% right. In fact, that figure is a little bit more. If you look at it, you know, when they're in grade 9, 10, 11, and 12, those are the teenage pregnancies. They're picking it up in schools and all that. Now, the education system in our country is so bad. And now, because of we had in this province the 89% pass rate, everybody is jumping on that. But you're not seeing the actual picture is less than that, because the thing is this, you know, especially for some of the communities, what they have done is they have given them the average mark and they give them the pass rate. So that's where they brought the pass rate. That's why you see the opposition parties and all are jumping. They said this figure is not right. It's supposed to be 56%. Where are you getting 89%? And all that. But the issue with this pregnancy in our schools, especially in all the rural schools and all the high schools and all, they have to do something about it. But the education system is so bad they can't do anything about it. That's the problem. There's no proper education on pregnancy, what they should be doing, how they, you know, because, you know, when you're getting 600 students, two toilets, what you expect, Shafat? That talks for itself.
Yeah, I tell you, we're on a roll this morning, Ahmed, a really big roll. And looking at Yunus, he says, Assalamu alaikum. Show is really rocking this morning. Jazakallah khaira. What a vibe, brother Chef. What's more concerning is that 59.6% of young South Africans aged between 15 and 24 are unemployed, whilst 34.5% of those looking for work are still unemployed. And these high unemployment rates in South Africa make finding a job challenging for many individuals. And one obstacle facing job seekers in South Africa, Ahmed, is the lack of job opportunities in certain sectors. And secondly, it is the BEE that is marginalizing whites, Indians, and coloreds. Ahmed, Yunus is making a valid point. How do you react?
Shafat, you know, we mentioned this BEE is it's a hoax. This is what the money-making scheme. When you get just about 50 or over 50% of the country is unemployed, that is virtually impossible. There is no new job creation or anything. If there is so much of work can be done, especially in the government, if you take government is the biggest employer, but the problem is in government, the government doesn't even know how many people in that sector they employ. Take DSW or Park. They don't even know. People are clocking in at 9 o'clock and 2 o'clock they're going home. They're better than you and I. And the driver is better than a counselor or better than a CEO of a company. He's earning more than anything else today.
Yeah, absolutely. But then, yeah, you know, it's shocking what happens in the jobs. I mean, even people sweeping the street, when they're doing the job and they do it with so much of attitude. Hey, they look at you, no, it's my cell phone time. I mean, they're sweeping with a cell phone and talking and laughing. I mean, I never saw anyone work like that, Ahmed. I never saw that. But anyway, this is how the new South Africa is. And perhaps, as you said, the new changes that will come, you will see that there'll be discipline. There'll be law and order, no more disorder. Inshallah, we're looking forward to that, Ahmed. And, you know, really great having you back. Enjoyed your company this morning. Perhaps your parting words before we let you go?
Shafat, I still maintain this country. If you go, UK got problem, America got problem, Germany got problem, everywhere in the world got problem. Canada, the Prime Minister, is resigning by the end of February. She will be gone. So end of the day, there's problem all over. When you've got 50% unemployment, what a lot of people are asking the same question, how do we sustain ourselves? What we have to do? We have to start thinking of something. Our people are operating from homes. They're making food. They're making this, that, and all. The home industry has shot up. Today you see, you want a burger, they come and deliver the burger to you. You don't even have to go to the, you don't even have to take up your car. You want groceries, your groceries come within 30 minutes to your place. So there's so much can be done. Try and do something ourselves and become self-sufficient. Don't depend on any job opportunities in this country. It's not going to happen. If you go to the UK, there's unemployment bigger than South Africa at the moment there. So there's problem there as well. So all over there is problem. This country, you still can do something, providing we all put our heads together, work together, unite ourselves together. And the biggest thing that the Muslim community of this country must do, one, forget that we mustn't register because that will, you know, we can't send our women folk to go and register to join a party or anything. We have to do that. Now you can see there's load sharing, there's no water. You don't get service delivery. To get service delivery, you have to now go and register yourself for this 2024 election and vote for the right party like Action SA and say, you know what, we're mandating you to go and give us service delivery. And this is like what we did in Musgrave at the moment, Shafat. It's a beautiful thing. In fact, in Springo, they must do the same thing. We got our own workers. We have employed 6 or 8 workers. We're getting a bucky this week. We got a manager. He cleaned from certain areas to certain street to certain street. We have barricaded. We only ask a householder to pay us 1 rand a month. That is 365 rand a year, and they're giving us this, and we're maintaining the roads and all. Come and see some of the roads, Boss Road, Musgrave Road, all that is now clean. We took out all the verges, we sweep the area. We're cleaning it up properly, Shafat.
I tell you, you walk the talk, Ahmed. Allah bless you. Great, as I said, to have you back on State Talk. You have a, mashallah, lovely Sunday ahead, and inshallah, we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.